Hey guys, we are back. Welcome, Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast. This is episode number 6. It is your pals, Mario.
66.
66. 6 plus 6 equals 66.
On the 60 spectrum of 6.
Super Mario Lemieux, 66.
Oh, boom.
There we go. It was his birthday last week. Big happy birthday to Mario Lemieux.
Happy birthday.
So yes, it is your pals, Mario and Brian. And our guest from the past is our pal, John. So what's up, John? How are you?
Good. Good to be back.
Joining us today. You will be instrumental in this week's topic, as I can provide no information or stories or anything. So,
John's joining us from his remote villa in Tuscany. So, you know, we can deal with the little delay. It'll be good.
There'll be delays. There'll be, you know, solar flares, all sorts of geological, metaphysical, homogenized.
Boom.
So thank you guys so much for listening. We were off last week. We had some stuff going down. But thank you. We really appreciate you guys checking us out. Check us out on all of our lovely places on the web, skibumpodcast.com. You can email us there, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast, and on pinterest.com, we are the Highfalutins.
Highfalutins.
With an S.
That's how we roll.
Yes, indeed. So let's kick it off like we do every week. It is the Après today.
Aw, yeah. So well,
Mario,
what are we drinking today?
What are you partaking in right now?
All right, so I am partaking in a very complicated thing to say.
It's a lot of letters.
El Locuelo Pomelo. It's by Casita Cervecia in Vermont. Now, what this is this is a brewer that is, they kind of know the people at Hill Farmstead, so they brew a lot of their brews at Hill Farmstead, and they kind of just brew whatever feels natural and kind of cool from their travels. So I guess it's somebody you know that travels around, good brewer, and they kind of collaborate. They may start brewing other places, but most of the stuff is brewed at Hill Farmstead. And this is a Saison Farmhouse IPA. It actually reminds me a lot of the summer, the Festina Pesh from Dogfish.
Oh.
Yeah, that's John's favorite. I like Festina Pesh, but no peach, no fruit flavor. It's just kind of like has a grapey, like Saison kind of flavor.
It's more of a purist Saison.
Actually, very cool. So they actually said they brewed it with grapefruit, kefir lime, juniper, and lemongrass. And I guess the other brewery, so this is kind of a Casita Cervecia, but they also get other breweries together, and they have Magic Rock Brewing Company with Hill Farmstead, with them collaborating. It's just kind of like a, hey, let's make some good shit.
It's like a jam band.
It's like
a jam band beer.
It's like, let's get together and jam, and we'll make a freaking beer.
Bring out the lute, man. Someone's playing the lute. We're going to make this beer. It's going to be fantastic,
man.
Got to
be like kids dancing around on the lawn. All right, so that's what happened when they brewed this. It's pretty awesome. Very good. Definitely want to do this before doing the heavy IPA, you know, hoppy beers. So.
Yeah. And I tried it, and I did the reverse. I started with the mad scientist John Kimmick and the Alchemist Brewery, Broken Spoke American Pale Ale. This was a 6%er. This thing was absolutely delicious. It was fresh.
Did they just start brewing this?
You know, I'm not sure. With the new brewery they have up there, they're starting to do a bunch of more limited run beers. Because they have the, obviously, Heady Topper, Focal Banger. And then there's that other one, that double.
Bang your focals.
Another double they're doing. I forget what that one's called. We talked about it on the podcast once. Haven't tried it. And this Broken Spoke, I think, is one of those just kind of like, we'll make this for a little bit until it's done. And then
it's fucking awesome.
Something else. It was delicious. It was a lot lighter than a Heady Topper. A lot of citrus, like kind of grassy, pine, but it was light. It was, I don't know if dank is the right word, but it had kind of like a weed, a bit of a light weed smell to it.
It smelled It smelled like weed taste. It tasted like weed smells.
Yeah, exactly. And it was good so weed. Good. And I just
diesel.
I'm still smelling this can because it was so tasty and delicious. And you know, this Saison that you know that Mario's got, it's not bad. I'm not a Saison guy. But yeah, I just keep wanting this can to just I wish it was a magic can that when I put it down, it just became full. Because that would be the most glorious thing ever. And
the good part of it is we got this bestowed on us from a gift of our share house buddy.
Our pal Justin.
Justin. After giving him little sips of Sip of Sunshine and like Hetty Topper, like, you know, open, he actually like came through.
Paying it forward.
I think he's going to be involved in the whole Hill Farmstead thing.
Yeah, so thank you, Justin, for hooking us up with that. We really appreciate it. It was delicious.
Sorry, John, you missed out.
John, what do you got over there?
I'm being pretty pathetic tonight, but I've been out for a while, and I'm drinking America's Finest Tap. But like I said before, I was sitting here reading the Men's Journal this month, and it's all about Welcome to the Golden Age of Beer. And talks a lot about, you know, some of the things you just mentioned, some of the best places in America to actually grab a pint. Obviously, Dogfish Inn being number one down in Delaware. And also mentions the Hotel Vermont, which leads tours to Hill Farmstead, amongst others.
Nice. Dogfish owns the inn?
Dogfish owns the inn, owns two restaurants, and owns the brewery in the area.
That's fucking awesome. They kind of call it
the Bermuda Triangle of Dogfish.
You spend like a week there.
They said people do pilgrimages from as far as South America just to come there.
Whoa.
So although I'm sitting here, you know,
I'm calling road trip this week.
Nice clear liquids. I'm doing all my research.
Nice. So.
And this article also mentioned the Guarano Ranch in Telluride, where we went and partook in some barbecue and I think some Oscar Blues beers up there.
Guarano Ranch is awesome because you just sit out, especially with the sun in Telluride, sitting in an Adirondack chair and some crunchy dudes playing some jams and you're just hanging out.
Dude, you're wearing flip-flops and there's like 5 feet of snow on the ground.
That's right. You're skiing the fuck out of it and then hanging out there.
Well, yeah, they got a bunch of pretty cool things on the places on the list and then some really places, yeah, some really interesting places where I just scratch my head going, I don't get it.
Oh, like, yeah. Like what?
Like Disney World. I'm not going to a freaking Disney World for a beer.
What do you got? Got, you know, Magic Kingdom.
They were number 11 on this list.
God damn.
They carry 600 breweries.
Wow, that's a lot. That's why they're on there. They got so many goddamn breweries.
Are they all like those Utah beers where they're all like 3%? Like a special Disney one? Ha ha, there's no alcohol in this one. Ha ha.
No touching after this one.
There you go.
So no touching beer.
Then it goes into like these top brewers, you know, the top brewers in America and like what's their favorite beer. And they keep like, you know, quoting other people's beers and then, they, you know, and then they go to that person and kind of, you know, and so on and so on and so on. And some pretty interesting brews lined in there. I'm trying to figure out how many of them have actually drank.
Hill Farmstead, Arthur.
There you Arthur, go. I love. Arthur's good.
Arthur's good.
The Dorothy we had, the Table Dorothy, that was really good too.
Mm-hmm. That Society and Solitude is still like my favorite though.
Number which one? Four?
Five, I think. Five or two.
I don't remember which one.
I think it was two, maybe.
And then my rare picker is Left Hand's Farm Milk Stout, and not because I'm lefty.
I like Left Hand.
It's a great.
Oh, the Milk Stout's really good, yeah. Yeah.
It's a great stout.
Nice.
As we're getting into the winter season,
yeah, you wanna you know double up on your IPAs. One IPA just doesn't do it anymore. You got to double up on those IPAs.
We're gonna be talking about or like porters. Quintuple IPA soon, I think.
They have the triples. A lot of people have triples now.
Yeah,
it's fucked up, man. It's kind of scary.
More is always better.
It's like dealing in black magic. Like you don't want to go to the triples.
They've gone to plaid.
It's fucked up, man.
All right, so a lot of good beers this week. And next up, our new segment. There it is, man.
All right, man.
Frank's Bean of the Week.
Fuck our beans.
This week, we got Northern Lights. Yeah, man. Northern Lights. It stands among the most famous strains of all time. A pure indica cherished for its resinous buds, fast flowering, and resilience during growth. Itself a descendant of indigenous Afghani and Thai Landrace strains.
Northern Jack, don't Lights, know Thai.
Oh, Jack Talk Thai. Very good. Northern Lights has given rise to famous hybrids like Sour Diesel, Shiva Skunk, and Super Silver Haze. Rumor has it that Northern Lights first sprouted near Seattle, Washington, but was propagated out of Holland after 1985 at what is now Sensi Seeds.
Rumor has it Gary Johnson supports this.
Believe the hype. You know what? And you know why I love Gary Johnson? Because he knows about as much about Aleppo as I do. I want to vote for someone who's as dumb as me. I'm comfortable with that.
So where do you weigh on that, John?
I don't.
I plead the fizzieth.
Damn.
So thanks, Frank, again for sending in that info. We will be going out to Seattle, possibly. Actually, definitely.
Oh, we're going to Seattle. I don't know what I'm going to do in Seattle.
Hey, I don't know if this country's going to survive the election, but if it does, we already have flights booked to go to Seattle and to
I'm going to try to go to the airport. Skiing. Let's just say I'm going to try to go to the airport in December and get on the flight. We'll see what happens.
I hope it's not like that terrible John Cusack 2012 movie. Did you see that?
No.
There's like a terrible airplane scene.
Was it really terrible?
It was probably one of the top five worst movies
I've
ever seen.
That's why I didn't see it. I'm glad. I feel better for not seeing it.
I don't know where I was where I saw it. I think it was like on somewhere and someone's like, oh, this seems pretty cool. It was just disaster porn pretty much.
If it wasn't Better Off Dead, who the fuck cares?
Oh, that movie's so good.
It's awesome. It's all power. It's all.
Do you know the street value of this mountain? This is pure snow.
Pure snow, man.
Yeah. So we do have one quick follow-up before we get into the ski news. So we reported talking about Newell Brands, and they were the new parent company of K2, Marco Volkel Dabello. And they have, I guess, created a new press release talking about their plans. Because originally it seemed like they wanted to sell all the brands or they were going to fold them.
So it's a lot of money, too, in those brands, right?
Big money in those brands. And these are, like, famous, I mean, some of the biggest names in skiing, the biggest, you know, longest-running names. And so it seems like they only want to sell one of the major brands, either K2 or Dabello, Mark, or Volkel. So, and if they can, they say they're going to still keep them running. But again, it's one of those things, like, what they say now may not be the same thing they're thinking in a year from now, but it's I guess all the reports were a little more negative or tragic, I guess, for the brands than the truth really is. So it looks like it's not going to be as bad as originally reported. And I guess we'll just kind of keep following the story and see where it goes.
That's awesome.
From this point. Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, if anybody wants to fund our Kickstarter to buy one of these brands, the Highfalutin Ski Bums would love to have that. And if you want to support us, we're going to put up a Kickstarter, and I think you can make it happen because we, together, can make it happen.
Let's make skiing great again. Our first nickel. Beautiful.
I am Brian. I am Brian, and I support this message. I don't know what to do. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's that time for a little ski news. What's going
on,
Brian?
It is. That's right.
What do you got for a little ski?
So, you know what? It's that time of the year. It's getting into mid-October here, and the race to open has begun.
Boom.
And it always seems to be the two of the areas in Colorado that always are vying to be the first resort to open up. So, of course,
Mountain Creek first.
Mountain Creek, number one, with authority. Yeah. Loveland Ski Area and A-Basin are already starting to blow some snow. They're already getting ready. Actually, just A-Basin is blowing. It doesn't look like Loveland is blowing quite yet. Last year, they both opened on October 29th. This year, we don't know, but things are getting cold, and there has been snow falling all over the northern western Rocky States. That's so
awesome to see the pictures that people are posting. We have a lot of people that we know that are on Facebook. They're posting like pictures that they've seen, and then the news forecast. It's freaking amazing.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest is going to get pounded. I mean, it's going to be a lot of rain in the lower elevations, but I think was it 6 or 9,000 feet above sea level, they're saying are going to get just feet of snow, feet of snow.
Awesome.
Mount Baker, they were saying, I think.
It's like just before Santa Claus comes to town. Like, this is actually like the pre-Santa, like, rage right now.
You're like an advent calendar, but it's like an awesome advent calendar.
Which we posted on Instagram. Our buddy John, he was at Costco today. John, what'd you see today?
The 24 days of Christmas.
Yes.
The advent beer calendar.
It was
nice.
24 German brews, authentic German brews.
Not Peel's Old Milwaukee. This is real beer.
Just a little high life thrown in.
That's
but
right.
No, it's all German brews. 24 days leading up to the Christmas holiday.
Oh, so there's actually 24 bottles of beer in there.
Yes.
I think everyone on my list is going to get one of those this year.
It's a giant case. Awesome. I almost went to Costco today, but then I had to go to happy hour with John and then do the podcast. So I was like, yada yada, that's why I was late. So.
Well, I guess it's one of those things you really can't give it as a Christmas gift. You have to give it as a Thanksgiving gift.
There you go.
So you can actually partake.
Yes. Well, then I'm trying to think of like maybe I could do it in terms of like I could have one for November and do like the 4 weeks of Christmas, the week of Christmas, pre-Christmas.
Like 4 day?
4 day, and then do like the, okay, I'll really do it for December, and then if you want to have people over, you have to have two in the fridge.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things you really got to plan ahead. You have to make sure you get it to the person you want to give it to at Thanksgiving, not Christmas.
Like, if you want to have a case around handy, you have to get a case of these because, like, you don't want to break into the other days. I mean, that's breaking the whole advent calendar thing.
I wonder, that would be awesome if you had some sort of, like, Vermont Beer Week. If they just had that a few weeks ago, if they developed that and it was like all like craft Vermont beers, 24 days of Christmas
in like a straw basket,
Heady Topper's like 23,
like all chilling, just like all crunchy with a little weed in there,
sip of sunshine, little second fiddle, maybe a
Vermont
citizen singer.
Advent calendar,
Vermont advent,
yeah.
I like that Vermont beer advent calendar,
the Bernie Sanders Festivus Advent Calendar.
Dude, Bernie could join like the beer and the weed together and make a perfect song.
I don't believe in anything except legalizing weed.
He's so mellow, but he sounds so angry, right?
He does. Very angry looking fella. Terrible posture.
Yes. It's because we leaning over like smoking it without.
That's right.
That's why he's hunched over. He's like trying to smoke the without burning himself. He's like, I have a nice suit on.
I don't want to feel the burn.
I don't want it on me.
All right,
next we got the U.S. winter forecast. So they're saying snow is going to blast the Northeast. Hell fucking yeah.
Wait a minute.
Tom,
aren't we in the Northeast?
Right now we're in the Northeast.
I mean, I'm a little geologically challenged.
Geomathically
challenged, but I'm pretty sure that we're in the Northeast.
Yeah. We have to do gibonics for you.
Gibonics.
So, because you don't understand the geological...
geothermopolize the situation.
Geothelakalize? Theolakasize?
The anyway. Typological graph of the map will show the geologification of the Northeast.
Well, Brian's amphibious. He can tell you the weather with both hands. So, they're saying snow's going to blast the Northeast. But the freeze may damage citrus crops in the south. So while I'm happy that we're going to get a shit ton of snow, that's a little concerning because, you know, I like my frozen concentrated orange juice.
The Dukes already knew this was happening.
The Dukes got the report and they're cornering the goddamn market on this right now. So frozen concentrated orange juice is going through the goddamn roof.
Yeah, pick some of that up.
So AccuWeather long-range forecaster, because AccuWeather has like a new...
Doppler 9000.
Yes. 9000.
HD, 3D, 9D, virtual reality.
We do the weather from
17,000.
Space. From Mars.
Elon Musk uses AccuWeather, allegedly.
On Mars.
On Mars.
Boom, because he's on Mars, man. Next week, He's going to be on Mars.
He's already got an office there. I'm fully convinced he's got an office and an army there already.
Dude, he's going to come out, like I said before. He's going to be like, I got everything I want going on Mars, full production. Tesla's coming to you, $2,000. That's how he's going to make his 5,000, was it, how many cars? 50,000 cars a year?
500,000.
500,000. God damn. He has 2,000 of them on Mars. He's got to ship them over.
They're already there.
He's like, it costs him $2 to make Mars. There's no labor laws.
Yeah. He's got a long way to go.
That's right. Literally, he's got to ship them over from Mars.
Wormhole.
Oh.
Hello.
You had to throw the wormhole. You had to throw the Hail Mary wormhole. I don't believe it.
I'm a man of science. I understand these things. The answer is wormhole.
So anyway, frozen concentrate oranges and pork bellies. You got to double down on those. So they're saying there's going to be a big freeze. They're not talking about a frost. They're talking about a freeze. I mean, my brothers are in Florida, and they're like, oh, my God, it got down to 40. I thought we were going to lose everything. I'm like, no, that's not freezing. But yeah, they're talking about a deep freeze. I don't know if it means that we can have the way they're showing this highlight of winter 2016, 2017 looks goddamn awesome.
Yeah, and they're saying, I guess, like New York, Philly, D.C., Baltimore, they're going to be more in the rain, sleet
frequent
band.
Frequent storms.
But it's further north. You know, once you get into the Catskills, the Adirondacks, the Green Mountains, the White Mountains, that's where all the snow is going to be.
John don't give a shit. He's, like, remote all the time now, right?
Yeah.
That's it. No more commute for me.
Yeah, but one of the weird little nuggets they put in here is they say that it's predicted that the region will total a below normal number of sub-zero days, though the temperature will average 3 to 5 degrees Fahrenheit lower than last year.
Average colder? That's awesome.
So it'll be colder, but not, like, super cold.
Yeah, remember we had that super cold the last few years? Like, 2-3 weeks of just burn the tits off a witch kind of cold. Nasty.
Yeah.
Negative 14, negative 12.
I'll take that over 100 and humid any day.
It's like Minnesota weather.
Yeah. Minnesota and October weather.
October weather.
All right. Next up. So this was a cool little story that was on Unofficial Networks. So there is a ski area. Yeah. I think Mario, you found this. Is it Plattekill? Is that how it's pronounced?
Plattekill.
Plattekill Mountain.
That's upstate. John, have you ever been there?
It sounds familiar.
It's up near Hunter, I believe.
Yeah, it's right next to Hunter. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen ads for it, but I've never been there.
So they have it's about 3 hours north of New York City, and they are doing daily rentals of the mountain. So you can, for $2,500 a day, you can rent out the entire mountain.
I get 10 friends to do that.
So say you get 25 people there, pay $100, you have the whole mountain to yourself. Now, I wonder, it's probably just a during the week thing.
Dude, $2,500.
Yeah.
Everybody pony up $100, 25 people, boom.
Yeah, exactly.
We're skiing our
asses off. You have the whole mountain to yourself. Now, again, it doesn't say if it's probably, again, just probably during the week.
Well, I'm thinking highfalutin. You got to rent like people to come in, food, right? You probably got to pay for all that.
Yeah, I wonder how that all works out.
Like, I got the girls from Scores coming. Like, you know, about $2,000 an hour. Like, there's gonna be some costs in there.
$2,000 an hour. Well, so 90 of them. Jesus.
Well, they're gonna be doing stuff. I mean, I don't
know. $3,500 is the top elevation. About 1,100 of vertical. You got 4 lifts. 38 trails. Longest trail is 2 miles. For $2,500, that is not too shabby.
That is not shabby at all. We should jump on that right away. I think what we should do is rent it out and then rent it out to somebody else.
Subcontract out the rental?
I get for $2,500, the only way you can touch it, $3,500. Just to dick with people. What do you think, John?
That's what works for me. You got my shiny nickel.
That's right. First nickel, man. That's awesome. It starts with the $2,500.
Okay, bucks. I'll throw in 10 more cents.
Boom!
It sounds like a pretty neat idea. We should look into that.
It's pretty awesome, right?
We'll be the mountain event planning HFSB people.
You know what? You should call like Plattekill Sick Day. Like everybody calls in sick to work on like a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
You get 25 people and just go.
It'll be like a fucking rave. We'll get Tiesto out there.
That's also a possibility. Or would you get like Shrimp Tree with like, you know, an iPhone and some speakers?
Oh, we get a backyard brawling on that fucking mountain, man. In the snow, backyard brawling.
It could be like a dogfight.
Yeah. We'll start at UFC 1. That'll be us.
Snow Fighting Championship, SFC.
Snow Fighting, SFC. Snow Fighting Ultimate Championship.
Yep.
SFUC.
There it is. Sufk.
We could bring back a place to come and really watch Team Ultimate Fighting.
There you go.
That's fucking
on ice.
John, did you ever watch that?
No, I don't think I have.
You got to look up Team, what is it, Team MMA? Team.
I think Team MMA, yeah.
Look up Team MMA on YouTube, and I'll see you in like another 3 hours, because you will not be able to stop watching. It is fucking awesome.
I just haven't lived yet. I just have not lived.
TFC? Not. Team Fighting Championship,
TFC,
I guess it's called.
TFC, that's
yeah.
what it is. It might be in Russian, and you could translate the page.
Well, here's a little summary of how it goes. There's 5 minutes of introduction of the fighters. There's 5 minutes of sexy dance by these like cheerleaders, and then 1 minute of actual fighting, and it's over.
TFC, that's what it is. Team Slight. I gotta see, like, and nobody's seen this thing for like 2 years because I think it got banned in every. I think Geneva Convention banned it.
It's apparently too brutal for the USA.
It was awesome, though.
Don't they realize we have Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump?
The best part is they have the tournament from like 2 years ago. You can watch the tournament, entire tournament, for $9.99.
Worth it.
It is on YouTube, though. Just saying. Sexy dance. I like the sexy dance.
All right. Next up. You want to switch here? Do you take the last one? I'll do the other one.
No, you like the last one.
All right.
That's your jam. So Killington fires up the snow guns today and yesterday. Now, they have been blowing the shit out of some snow. So they're getting ready for the Women's World Cup. They have two events going around Thanksgiving. And they're firing up the guns already. Now, we saw a previous article that we did a few weeks ago. And they were saying they need 6 days before the event. Not continuous to blow a good amount of snow to make sure they have snow for the event. So it's good that they have an opportunity now. They're taking it to just blow the shit out of that mountain, at least the places that they need. So really good to see. I mean,
yeah, I think it actually has more snow on it right now than it did on December 20th of last year.
Unfortunately, I believe you're right.
That was pretty bad. Yeah, they're firing up on I guess the North Ridge area.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm stoked. The fact that it's staying really cold up there, it's like, what, 50, what is it now? Like 40-something degrees out? It's fucking great.
They're saying it's getting into the 30s up there at night.
Yeah, which is great.
And it's going to be in the 30s, well, the next couple nights. But yeah, there it's.
I don't think the forecast is for it to get hotter, so I think we're good right now.
If they can start blowing now, they're way ahead of the game. Which is great, because it would be a disaster if that World Cup event got canceled. I mean, then they would never come back.
Well, with the World Cup event, like being in Thanksgiving, like Thanksgiving's always been the mark of like they want to open by Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Usually they try to open up the week before. So if they can do it like way before, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, they'll make their money and have a great World Cup event. It'd be great.
Yep.
That was my Black Friday thing every year when I was younger. I just hop in the car and drive up there.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, Killington's open. We're going.
You don't want to go to the outlets and go shopping?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Get the fuck out of here. Let's go to Hunter.
All right. And then we got one last final story.
Speaking
of World Cup ladies.
Boom.
So, Lindsey Vonn just released a new book last week called Strong is the New Beautiful, and she did a little a promo photo session where she was wearing nothing but ski poles.
Yeah, John, I gotta send you this. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and you know what? Not many people can pull that look off, but Lindsay, she definitely can.
I gotta say, she is one classy gal. I like her.
She's a ballsy gal, that's for sure. She has confidence. She's probably more confidence than any other person.
She's been through a lot of stuff.
Earth. Yeah, she keeps coming back strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's she's an awesome, role model for young women and even guys who go
want to stalk her
hardcore. That's the kind of person she is. She just goes hardcore, and that is awesome. So that about wraps up the ski news this week.
All right, we got the main topic going now.
There it is.
So now this week we're talking about Oktoberfest. So now everybody's like heard of Oktoberfest, been to Oktoberfest in their town. But John and I, we went to the real Oktoberfest in Germany, München, Germany, which was absolutely phenomenal. And the funniest part of this is every time we tell people, like, oh, yeah, we were in Oktoberfest. Like, yeah, I went last week. Like, where are you talking about? They're like, oh, we went to Mountain Creek. We went to the – like, no, we're not talking about a local one. Like, we went to the Oktoberfest. And like, oh. So it's pretty funny. Like, yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah, very big difference. All right, so let's describe Oktoberfest.
Yeah, let's hear what it's all about because, the people who weren't there, I want to hear highlights. What do you do? What do you not do? Kick it.
So my take on the atmosphere is definitely go traditional. Get a Tracht, which is the whole Lederhosen if you're a guy, or a Dirndl, which is the big, the pretty dress for the girl. Definitely go traditional because that's what people do. Like, you don't go, you show up in jeans and a t-shirt, people are going to be like, all right, great. You didn't really try. You're not part of it. Like, you're watching, kind of. Like, you want to be in it.
Germans love to be in the same uniform together. It's very comforting for them.
But they will snub your nose. They will snub their nose at you.
Those Germans. You don't join their party.
It goes for the tourists too, though. You've got to. Yeah, I was one of those people. I'm in my truck. I'm like, okay, I got to swing the hotel door open. Here I go. I'm a little nervous. I walk out. I'm in the hotel lobby, and I'm like, by the time I'm out the front door, I'm like, okay, I'm comfortable.
Yeah, I'm glad I brought the truck, and I'm wearing it. And I told Brian, I was like, you know what? I really didn't need to bring any of the pants because I could have worn the truck everywhere. With it, 3 days. John was there a little bit ahead. He had business and stuff going on. So I met him out there. And it was great. We did Oktoberfest solely for 2 days. And then we did a freaking Bayern Munich game, which was off the hook. It was a lot of fun. But even at Bayern Munich game, people were wearing the jersey with the Lederhosen bottom. I was like, I didn't need other pants, man. I could have worn that all the time.
Yeah, we could definitely wear them there. It was pretty sick.
Yeah. So logistically, you get there, you go to Oktoberfest, you either have to have a plan to go in or have a plan to split up. With like, if you go with like 4 or 5 or 6 people, have a plan that you don't have to necessarily sit together unless you have a reservation. So what we did was we went through a service that actually got you a table and everything, and it was an awesome service, like great hostess. I gotta say that I'll post in the show notes like the place that we use. It's out of the UK, top notch, awesome. Expensive, but I tell you what, John, that was the best like hookup, right?
Oh yeah, it's first rate. Gets you right into like premium seating, right up in the center of the tent where all the action is. Right up against the band, lots of live music going. Everyone wants to be there. Everyone wants to be with you. It was really a neat spot.
Yeah,
and you've got a local kind of taking care of you all the way in. You're not sure what's going on. So, you get walked and, guided all the way in there and they kind of set things up for you once they're in there too. So it was great.
So how is it like getting food and booze? Is it used to like a waitress service? Or you just kind of
waitress
walk up
waiter
there?
come over. And so what we did with our package, we got tokens for the beers. So you can buy tokens or you could pay cash. Everything's cash there. So if you bring a credit card and saying, oh, yeah, I'll just use my credit card because it's international. No, everything's cash in that whole place, in the entire Oktoberfest, which it's great. They earn a lot of money and they don't have to pay the 50-something percent tax they pay.
Yeah, wages. Crazy tax. Yeah, they just want cash to keep away from all that.
Yeah, so it's good. It's pretty easy to do. So our thing we had, and John, you still have your chicken coupon, right?
I still have it.
Chicken ticket. So
bring it back next year.
That's right. So you get a ticket for like chicken, a ticket for chicken ticket. Chicken ticket. And tokens for beers. Or you could just buy them flat out. So beer there is about, what, 5% alcohol?
Yeah. It was nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Now, what was it, too? Is it, you know, based on where you were, was there like only – because, again, we're so used to just – again, this is an American thing, I guess. You know, were you talking about – before we're talking about like these like new craft beer bars that open. There's like 60 beers on draft.
Yes.
What's the selection? It's like
it's non-pretentious,
couple, right? It's like two or three.
You could have a Pils, you could have a Weiss, or you could have a Dunkel. Dark, white, or regular. And that's really it.
That's it.
Or water or something else. Like
or Radler.
Radler.
Shandy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, basically like so we're in the Pauliner tent. You know what you're getting? You're getting the Pauliner, you order a beer. The regular beer is their Oktoberfest Pauliner beer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they have a dark, sometimes they have a white. So they don't always have that. It's like we have maybe three beers to pick from, and that's it. Otherwise, hit the bricks, bitch.
So you don't have like a cranberry Gosa available?
That's right. I'm sorry, do you have a hoppy IPA? Like they're like, no, go to the fucking hoppy IPA tent, which doesn't exist, jackass. Yeah.
We said IPA. I think we said IPA once, and they all looked at each other like we had three heads.
It blew their fucking mind. They're like, what? You mean there's a lot of hops in beer?
IPA? What's that?
You set up a Hill Farmstead tent up there.
Oh, my God.
Breaking that shit out, man.
Highfalutin Oktoberfest.
Ooh. The other thing that I learned about being there with beer is Americans are known for being kings of the IPA.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, they know it. They're like, we hands down, we don't even want to compete. We have the Pilsner. We're good with it. We got the white beer. That's it.
It's all about knowing you're playing to your strengths, really.
Exactly.
You know, we like things bigger, bolder.
More options.
More
they're like,
booze.
No.
That's us.
They're like, we make the best beer and we make it right, and that's it.
What's the German purity law?
Reinheitsgebot.
There you go. Which is like 1354 or something.
I think so. Something like that.
It's like hundreds of years old.
You don't mess with something that works. That's what I'm saying.
That's true. They know it works. They keep making it, and everyone's happy.
Yeah. The beer there was awesome. It's not for the non-drinkers, I tell you what. Like you have the
really Oktoberfest isn't for the non-drinker, huh?
You have the Half Moss, which is the
frowned upon
half liter, which is frowned upon. That's the girl beer.
Is this for the young girls? Yeah, for 12-year-old unders.
That's a 12-year-old. And then they have the Moss, which is the big stein that you see.
No, das Boot.
And you put down
das Boot.
They had to have a boot around somewhere. But I tell you what, you put down a few of those. I gotta say, we hoisted at least four or five of those the first night.
Oh, nice.
And they go down like you're drinking a pint.
Yeah.
Especially, you get near the end, you're like, you know, this is getting warm. I better drink this faster.
Yeah. You get the other one.
And you just pound it. So, I mean, it's not even like, oh, yeah, well, it's 2.5 beers. It's going to last me 2.5 times as long. No way.
Nope.
But mind you, they have people walking around with cookies and pretzels, like, which is the weirdest thing, which I love. It's almost like you're at a stadium and somebody's coming around. Oh, do you want a pretzel? Like, you can't buy that at the stand. You have to get it from the girl that's walking around. Like, it's awesome. Like, it's just the culture and stuff like that. So you got all this going around. You're eating pretzels. You're freaking eating meat, like sausages and freaking sauerbraten and half chickens. Like, you're eating like you're out in the wild. It's awesome. So you're doing
there's
all
no
that.
There's no like tofu options or vegetarian options.
Do you have a gluten-free? No. They're like
gluten-free pretzels, perhaps.
I'm just going to have a salad.
I'm not even going to make a comment.
What sort of kale options are there for Oktoberfest? there mustard greens I could have, perhaps?
You can get on a train. We took care of that.
Whoa.
But anyway, so you're not standing around. You're like dancing and you're like talking to people. Everybody's very friendly. John, like we
a
met
lot
the
of
most.
Peeing.
Well, the peeing, you kind of hold it in. You don't want to go out because you got to go, like, it's a long way to get to the pee.
I know, like, the Hofbräuhaus has that big, like, trough. That's a European thing, right?
So here's the fucked up part.
There's a trough.
John's never been to a trough before. I've been to a trough, and they have the trough where it doesn't go up all the way.
Oh.
So you're looking at the person on the other side peeing at you.
And you're like, yeah, I'm staring at you.
You're peeing at each other, like, I'm looking you right in the fucking eyes, man. Like,
Yeah. Was ist los? Was ist los?
Like stare down costume.
Yeah. Like I'm staring the fuck at it. I am pissing right now, looking right at you.
Is this a mirror? I don't think so.
And if you ever think that's easy to do, look at another man while you're pissing. You're just like, this is fucking weird.
You got to look in the white of his eyes and say, yeah, I'm peeing in your general direction.
That's right. It's like I'm peeing on you, but there's this thing stopping me from peeing on you. It's the trough. It's fucked up.
That's great.
So, yeah, you do all that. It's just like a cultural fucking boom, a bomb that hits you. You're just like, whoa. Everybody's very young there because they go to university at like 16, 17. So we're hanging out with people. They're like 17, 18. We're like, all right, so I'm the dad of the day. Just like, don't be with that guy. He's a dick. That guy likes you. Don't do, you know. It was pretty funny. So that was the first night. First night was kind of a blur. Would you say a blur, John?
Especially near the end. I mean, you know. Hey, at least we ended up using the Ubu Kubu or the Pew Kill, you know.
So Pew Kill is they have these berms on the like when you get into Oktoberfest, like all around the fest area.
Oh, that was a picture you posted on Instagram, right?
Yeah, and there's people just like sleeping there. They're like, "Fuck it, I can't walk anymore. I'm going to sleep." So I mean, Oktoberfest opens up at like 10 o'clock in the morning and closes at about 11 o'clock at night, 11:30.
Yeah.
And people just sack out. So if you get there at 10 in the morning, people drink their ass off. They sleep on the hill. And about 3 o'clock, they're like, I'm ready to go back in. They go back in.
That's awesome.
It's just it's crazy. And then the cops are like, they're not kicking anybody out for being drunk. They're just checking to make sure that they're not dead. And then they move on. We saw Task Force 9, was it? Right, John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had on their shirts, Task Force 9. That was them. And they were walking around. Dude had a backpack of water, and he's going around, like, making sure people are hydrated, and just moving on. Like, people couldn't even stand. They're like, all right, hydrated. All right, let's go.
Okay, wow. He's not dead. He's got a pulse. Let's keep going.
Let's go on. And they have a big jail there. The biggest jail in Munich during the time of Oktoberfest is at Oktoberfest. They actually set up an entire jail with a judge and everything. Luckily, John and I were smart enough. I think we're old enough now that we're kind of like, yeah, we're not going to go there.
Yeah. It's like going to an Eagles game.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of fights, though. Like, people there get drunk, and they just stumble around, maybe get into a verbal argument, but nobody's, like, punching each other generally. Yeah. It's like a rarity.
It's a Jersey thing.
You know, Jersey, that they're taking the shirt off, and they're ready to go.
Come at me, bro.
Come at me, bro. I took my shirt off, man. I don't know what it is. Yeah. You don't want to get your shirt dirty, or I don't know what it is in Jersey, but yeah, there it wasn't too bad. So that was the first day. Day two, went back, hung out with people from the service again. They got us into another tent. We actually didn't go into the Pawner tent. Pawner tent's great.
So now, so is each tent have like its own, like they'll have different beers and different tents, like different brands?
Yeah, so there's I think it's 11 big tents.
I think you're right. And each one's a beer company.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Paulaner hosts a tent. Hofbräu hosts a tent. Like, so
Dob. Spaten,
yeah. So they all host a tent. Those are the big tents. And the big tents are like, they hold 5,000 people inside and about 1,000 to 2,000 people outside. And then they have about 14 small tents. And it's all in the same area. So you're walking around. It's like a big, and they have rising shit in the middle. It's crazy. Kids running around, like face painting. I mean, it's just nuts. You walk out, you're like, this is a regular festival. And then you go in the beer tent. It's like just beer and singing and shit. But yeah, they serve about 300,000 people a day there.
300,000 a day.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, these tents are huge. They're absolutely huge. These tents can hold like 5,000 people.
Yeah. It's nuts. So think about the 11 that hold 5,000 people inside, about 1,000 to 2,000 outside in the beer gardens. And then they have the small tents, which are about 2,000 to 3,000 inside and about another 500 to 1,000 outside. It just adds up like, holy crap, damn. There's a ton of people just hanging out, drinking beer and singing songs. They love 80s music. So if you like Sweet Caroline, like...
Rock, West Virginia.
Yeah, John Denver.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest shit. And these are like similar songs that they just love. And they like, so I think about like the Bordy Barn and Long Island is the same. They run the same playlist except for the German music. But, and then they have like the regular German music. So it's funny. I was telling Brian, like in Austria, we got used to like Mickey Krause and Peter Wackel. And I mentioned that to the one girl, and it was like, oh my God, how do you know Peter Vacca? I'm like, who doesn't know Peter Vacca?
Because he's amazing. That's why.
He's a fucking genius. Yeah.
The walk genius.
Walk genius.
The walk genius.
The walk genius.
The walk genius.
I like that. So that, yeah, that was pretty cool. And then the second day we were there, we go back into Oktoberfest. We walk around Munich. Oddly enough, where do we end up, John, at noon? Fucking Glockenspiel.
Opera House. Opera House.
And the Opera House. Nice. Boom. So we're doing that, hanging out, cooling out with just a few steins at the Opera House. And what I had an Ox Sauerbraten.
Ooh.
It was goddamn good.
Nice.
It was. John, what did you think of the food there?
It was pretty darn good. Pretty darn good for a tourist trap.
Yeah. I think, yeah. I killed my own colon by not eating enough other stuff, but the meat and the meat dishes look so good. So I was like, I just kept eating.
Nice.
Oh yeah. Let's not, it's pork at every meal. It's meat or ox. Oh. Pork or ox at every meal.
Yeah. A lot of game. They had some other game stuff. Duck was everywhere.
Duck.
For some reason, they had a lot of duck.
Any Schweinehaxe?
Didn't see Schweinehaxe. Oh no. The Schweinehaxe's the
pig knuckle. Pig knuckle. Like the leg, yeah.
Yes, they had that all over.
Oh, yeah, it was all over so place. Good. All over
place. I didn't get it. I was like, I love that. I was afraid. I was
what
very
the
afraid.
Hell? You got to go back now.
Next time, this next year.
Yeah.
Make a trip.
That's a good key to life is if Schweinehaxe is on the menu, you know they're not going to screw it up. Get it.
Schweinehaxe.
You know, you're not going to be like, you're not going to go like a crappy like TikTok diner and they're going to have Schweinehaxe on the menu. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Mm.
If they do have it, if someplace has it on the menu, they
get
are
it.
Legit.
Then get it.
Get it, yes.
That's awesome.
It is delicious.
I had like five different types of schnitzel. I had, like, it was just awesome. I had my Jaeger schnitzel. Jaeger schnitzel.
Nice.
Yeah, but it was good all over the place. So then the next day we went, walked around Munich, and then we went into the Oktoberfest again. And this time we didn't have a table reservation, so you just go in and you make friendly with the friendlies around.
Mm-hmm.
And John and I, we stumbled into a bunch of friends that, if they're listening to this, we had a great time with them. They're all. It was a group of German teachers that teach English. So I was like, this is great. They speak English and all, whatever. But a lot of people speak English there, and they were a lot of fun. So we actually hung out at Oktoberfest with them, got kicked out of Oktoberfest, and went hung out.
You got kicked out?
Well, they were kicking everybody out, and then we hung out at their residence, which is pretty fun. We're just hanging out at somebody's apartment, just chilling out. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good time had by all.
Yeah, you would think that it's dangerous, but we're like, no, they seem like pretty cool people, and yeah, they were a lot of fun. So we came back with our heads on
all your
on
organs,
our shoulders, all the organs.
No human centipede.
No humans. nobody was sewn ass to mouth, so we're good. So that was all right. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then next day we did the Bayern Munich game, which if you've never been to a European soccer game, this was good. I would imagine this is, John, more tame than maybe England, but now I have something to compare on.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was definitely a little bit more energetic than going to see the Red Bulls here.
Who they play? Bayern Munich.
They played Cologne, so it was a pretty big rivalry.
Yeah,
and interesting is that it was red on red, like, you know, both teams mainly have red jerseys, and so it was just a sea of red regardless.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And it's the same country, obviously. So, you know, there was a heavy amount of Cologne fans there as well.
Yeah, and they were like cheering. It was funny because, like, there's one section that was just cheering the entire fucking game, like singing songs. Like, it was nuts.
It's like, who are you rooting for?
And then they had another section, which was the Cologne fans, and they all were in one little section up on top, and they were cheering back. It was pretty crazy.
No, really.
I gotta say, it was a lot of fun. It wasn't like watching a game here where you look around and people like checking their phones. They're like, as boring as soccer could be, like, they're not checking their phones. They're just kind of...
They're being present.
Yeah.
They're being in the moment.
You don't get a beer. You don't move. You know, the aisles were empty.
Oh, they looked at me like I just farted or something like that. I went to get a beer, and I'm like, and they're like looking at me like, whatever. I'm like, I don't know, dude. I got to get a beer.
You're like, it's a slow goddamn game. Nothing's going to happen in the 2 seconds where you stand up. All right? You're fine.
I go to get a beer. So here's the fucked up part. They have this, like, cash card, which is the stupidest thing that they do.
Oh, that's so annoying.
So you have to put money on the card, and then you go, and everything you pay for is on that stupid little card.
So, like, just for the stadium?
For the stadium. And I'm like, why can't I use my debit card? They're like, no, you can put money on the card with your debit card. I'm like, but
it's that's an extra unnecessary step.
Exactly.
Why do I have to do this?
So you go and you use your card, and then whatever you don't use, you go at the end and you got to get your money back from them. Ugh. It's the weirdest thing.
They usually assume people are going to be too drunk to do it and just say, screw it.
So we're going in there. So John and I put a bunch of money on there thinking like, yeah, it's like Yankee Stadium. It's going to be like $12 a beer. You know, they serve half liters instead of like a beer. It's going to be a little more money. We're thinking like 25 bucks a beer. You know, we have all these crazy calculations. We get in there. It's like, was it like $6 a beer for a half liter?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It was not bad. It's not bad at all. We way oversold our cash card.
You want a hot dog, like a vice first on a, they had like four different types of sausages on a bun. Mm-hmm. 450 euros each. It's like, wow, I'm never going to go through the 60 bucks.
Yeah, right.
It was crazy. So at the end, we had to go cash in money. I was like, this is just a weird system. Mm-hmm. But nice stadium, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Nice. It was a lot of fun. And the one thing we didn't grasp until the last day, until that soccer game, no open container laws. So we're walking around. I'm like, John, we have to get roadies. I feel bad not exploiting this flaw in the system here. So we're walking around everywhere.
Glitch in the matrix.
Walking around everywhere with a roadie. On the street, on the train, everywhere. Roadies.
Nice.
Had I known that going into the trip and not realized it on the trip, it would have been probably a more drunken trip.
Yeah.
But that was kind of good.
It seems like you're never at a place where you were not able to get booze, though. So.
Yeah, it was everywhere, right, John? Everywhere you went, they had beer.
Yeah, absolutely. It was in, you know, convenience stores, McDonald's, for the love of God, you know?
Oh, they love the McDonald's, too.
Oh, yeah, they love it.
Donald's, Burger King, and Starbucks were everywhere, too.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Starbucks, great tip for traveling, great for grabbing Wi-Fi if you don't have an international phone plan.
Boom.
You can pop in there, hop on the Wi-Fi, get emails, contacts, you know, iMessages, WhatsApp. And, because they're all over the place. It's very convenient.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What the hell is going on there, John?
Is your inflatable doll now fully inflated?
She's getting a little, how you doing?
Not exactly.
Soon.
It's a much more boring story than that, so I won't share it with you.
You hear, whoa, what's going on? Cool. All right. That's all we got on the...
So would you say... So you said recommendation-wise, you would definitely do the reservations for the tents?
So here's the advice. If you want to go next year, they're taking reservations, or they're going to start taking reservations very soon for next year already.
Wow.
Now, we're talking September... You can get your reservations, and then if you do the reservation with the beer tent, you have usually till April to get a refund back if you're not going to go. Mm-hmm. But you got to get it that far in advance. It's the real deal. So now reservations, I think generally you can go on. There's an Oktoberfest DE site. I could put it on the show notes. But it's usually like $10 a person without anything. Just to get a reservation. So you can reserve a whole table for about $120. And okay. Then if you want the package that they offer, it's probably like, I think, €40 a person. And then if you go through a service like we did, because we went last minute, now you're talking about spending a lot more, $200
plus. It's like the StubHub, pretty much.
It's like the StubHub.
If you get tickets or something.
Well, we got a little extra in there. Like, I think we paid like $250. And
it was about $250.
Yeah, but it included like a concierge to meet you, walk you in, tickets, beer, food. Like there was a lot of stuff included. So I gotta say we overpaid, but the fact that we also were like a table right next to the stage was awesome. Like you don't get that like on your own. So
yeah, it was like having front row seats to a major tent. You know, like so front row seats to a concert kind of thing.
And did you guys pick the tent based on, like, use the service based on what tent you would get into? Or how does...
We asked the service, can we get into this tent? And they said, yes, we service that tent. Okay. So they were like, yeah, well, we can get you in there.
Okay.
But yeah, they could probably, if you have a request, they'll get you in there, kind of thing. It was pretty cool. I got to say, it was a good service, and it was nice to see the people. You get to hang out before and after. They help you out with stuff. It was good.
So your tips are: get the reservations if you can. Wear the proper gear.
Always get the trucks. $130 on for the entire gear except for the hat on Amazon.
Okay,
you can't go wrong. It was through. I think it was lederhosen.com.
Of course it was.
Of course. But I tell you what.
You can reuse it for Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Which I plan on doing.
And or Casual Friday.
It was real leather, too. It wasn't like a shitty one. Like, even the Germans were like, oh, no, this is a pretty good one. Like, mm-hmm. We could tell, like, you're a foreigner because you're a foreigner. But, like, in terms of, like, the dress, it was pretty legit. It was pretty good.
Nice.
So.
Our outfits clearly were not authentic enough, though.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to work on that.
Yeah, but all the other people around there, we kind of fit in. There's a lot of people with the same shit we were wearing. It was like, oh, they got it from the same exact store. You know what I mean? Like,
you didn't make it yourself?
But I got to say, so tips are definitely dress the part. Go there, get the lederhosen, get the dirndl, and go. Be aware where you want to go. Plot stuff out, like, because you might not have Wi-Fi or whatever. Mm-hmm. Try to stay somewhere that's walking distance to everything. You do a lot of walking, but I tell you what, everything's close. And don't be afraid to take the subway. Subway's pretty easy. And they have Uber.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So, Oktoberfest is cash. It's only cash-only business. And don't let a taxi driver, which they tried to do to me, take you to a strip club and tell you to get out. So I'm hammered. Get picked up by a taxi. Well, I went to a taxi, and I'm like, just take me back to the hotel. Takes me to a strip club. He's like, oh, you want to go in there? I'm like, no, dude, I want to go home, man. I was like, as much as I'd love to have like an experience at a strip club in Germany, I just want to go home. So I went, you know, I was like, I had to argue with this guy to take me home. It was pretty funny. Ugh. And then everybody I've told that story to is like, that was in Germany. They were like, oh, yeah, they do that all the time.
They're like, take me back to my goddamn hotel, Fritz, now.
That's right. So
I had that happen in Vegas to me, too. They do the same shit there.
Goddamn Vegas.
Yeah.
I got a whole stack of baseball cards. Like, there's all these girls that play for the same team. Like, baseball cards that hang out on the street.
Oh, yeah. Classy.
Same team, huh?
Look at these stats.
So look at these stats. Shayla, you have different stats than...
How did she have 3,000 RBIs? I mean, I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means in this context. But yeah, it was pretty good. And try to go with at least one other person. The safety.
Going by yourself would be kind of sad, wouldn't it?
It'd be weird. A little weird.
Yeah.
I would say two is good because you're nimble. You can go in and fit into like any place like that there's two seats available if you don't have reservations. The other thing would be to go with like four. Like if there's a four pack. You split up in twos and just go two and two, and then you kind of hang out together and stuff like that.
You lose that. You definitely lose that nimbleness.
Yes.
Yeah, you go up to like, these two seats taken? You're like, sure. Four of you show up. Yeah, can we fit in here? Like, no.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
But you split the four pack up is pretty easy, you know?
Yeah.
So that's nice. Just how it is.
Cool. Sounds like an excellent time. So yeah, you guys will get the information and we'll put it all in the show notes and can check it out and use it as a guide for next year when people want to plan their Oktoberfest adventure.
They're going to be doing this every year, just saying.
Look at that. So, yeah, so for all the information on Oktoberfest and on ski news and on Frank's Beer of the Week and on the App Parade today, just check out skibumpodcast.com. Also hit us up. Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast, and Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
What time is it? It's time for Under the Ropes, right, Brian?
You said it, sir.
We're going under the ropes and hanging out.
We're going under. First story this week. Oakley has released a new product called the Radar Pace, which is a real-time voice-activated coaching system.
Nice.
So this creates a unique training program for you, tracks your progress on your smartphone, and coaches you in the moment. So it collects and analyzes personal performance data, including heart rate, power output, speed, cadence, distance, and time. And then it monitors your performance and adjusts your training zones as you improve. So it gives you personalized coaching. So, you know, say you're trying to achieve a certain, you know, mile time. It'll tell you, hey, you know, pick up your pace right now. You need to do, you know, 0.01 miles an hour faster to reach your goal. And
that's really cool. I think you use that for a lot of other stuff, not just skiing, right?
Yeah, well, I think you can use this for running and biking and a few other sports.
That's awesome, because I know biking, I always use my heart rate as a gauge.
Yeah, and it creates custom personalized workout training programs based on your performance and goals, helping you improve fitness and prepare for any upcoming competition.
That's awesome.
So this is a pretty neat new product, and it looks kind of – well, I mean, it's Oakley, so it's the sunglasses, and then it has that built-in like an arm with an earpiece. So it's like the old Oakley Thumps that came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Which was just I think there was a built-in – like flash memory, so you could plug it in and actually store songs on there.
Oh, cool.
And so it was the sunglasses with the little earbuds.
The earbuds on the...
built into the side of the
oh, cool.
the hinge. But this is a little more...
well, they had the Oakley goggles, and were the Oakley goggles the ones that had like something...
the camera in it.
Projecting something or a camera?
Oh, they didn't have a camera. No, they had the little screen at the bottom. Almost like Google Glass, like a little...
like a heads-up display.
Like a heads-up display, yeah, at the bottom.
But was it? I think it was the same kind of arm where it was like attached in there. Or something?
No, it was like it was underneath the lens.
Oh, okay.
So it was like inside of the goggle. Yeah.
Hmm. Hopefully they'll develop that technology a little better too.
This is all a very new field and it's growing. So I would not be one bit surprised.
I tell you, this is great. I'm looking at it for biking because I do when I bike. I always wear glasses because you know you get the wind in your eyes and yeah. bugs and shit like that. But I'm always looking down at my bike computer to say, you know, what's my heart rate? What's my power output? Like, I don't have a power meter, but the heart rate and it calculates the power output and things like that. But if that was on the glasses, I wouldn't have to look down. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, this particular product won't show it on the glasses, but you could ask it what your heart rate is.
And it'll tell
you.
Audio?
The nice. Audio, yeah. It's got the buds that come off the sunglasses. So you can talk to it, and it listens, and it responds to your questions.
Well, I guess that voice activated, you could have it trigger to say, oh, time to push it, or you're going too fast, or you're
yeah,
whatever,
exactly.
slow down, or get the let out kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Pretty cool. $449 they're charging for them, which, you know, it's expensive, but it's not too, too bad. You can probably buy a pair of Oakleys for more than that.
No problem for men of means like us.
It's true. So, yeah, Oakley Radar Pace. Check them out.
Very nice. All right, so legal U.S. cannabis will reach $50 billion is what the speculation is from an investment bank. So they're saying America's cannabis industry could swell to $50 billion in the next decade. According to Cohen and Company, Mainstream Investment Bank. So they're saying the estimated $6 billion is forecast over a 10-year period to grow more than eight times what it is now, which is pretty astonishing. That's a lot, but it's really not astonishing when you think about who's – if you look at the 50 states, out of all the states that have – if you just – not even the size of the states, but the states in number that have legalized for medical and then recreational. Like, mm-hmm. if everybody's going to get to medical and recreational, it's going to grow, I think, even more than that. It's
well, crazy. Yeah, I guess, I mean, you have four states, right, that have it legalized at this point.
In recreational.
In D.C., yeah.
Yeah.
And none of them are, like, the most populated states.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, yeah, if something like, you know, like if California passes... that's going to be, I mean, what's California, the sixth largest economy in the world?
I mean, whether you want it to or not, I think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Like, well, it's kind of like prohibition. How can you say, like,
yeah,
you can't have alcohol in this state, but you can have it in the other state? Like, it's.
You look back on alcohol prohibition now, and it seems like the dumbest thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
You know, and in 50 years, we're going to look back on, you know, cannabis prohibition and realize how stupid that was, too. So. you know, it's just one of those things. If you're not going to be on the side of progress, you're going to be on the losing side of history.
Yeah.
So
I actually looked on the Weed blog today, too. This was even before I saw the story. And they were talking about the states that are going to have, in this next election, big cannabis or marijuana-focused votes coming up. And you have, you know, California is going to do a whole legalization for recreational. It's going to involve possession laws, cultivation, allow cultivation, and then taxing. Nevada's up, but they're saying Nevada is getting a big pushback from one of the big casino people is actually trying to prevent Nevada from legalizing. But they're going for, like, allowing people to possess 1 ounce, taxing it, and then allowing, if you don't live within 25 miles of a marijuana store, to grow up to 6 plants, which is awesome.
Wow.
Maine is doing it. I heard Maine has a decent chance of passing. And they're talking about possession, allowing possession. So everybody's decriminalizing, changing the laws. Possession, cultivation, and transportation of up to 6 flowering plants, which is pretty wild. Like, they're actually getting
that's so significant, yeah.
So they're not going to, like, for transporting it, which is wild. Arizona, which they say may get bounced down. I hope it doesn't. But they're saying it's predominantly a red state, usually against, like, that stuff, very conservative.
And also, too, the number one group that's fighting against legalization is the pharmaceutical company that makes, like, the most powerful painkiller on the market.
Yeah, so they probably flood the market.
They don't want any competition, yeah.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So that's Arizona. They're doing taxing. Possession is okay. And then 6 marijuana plants again. For some reason, they're coming up with this idea of 6 marijuana plants. I'm like, I thought like 2 would be enough. Like,
yeah, right.
But per person, like.
Well, there's so many new kinds of strains now. You know, you got to try different things.
Yeah. Massachusetts now. This is good for us because they're saying Massachusetts has a big push from a lot of celebrities to legalize. Mm-hmm. I read another article. And they're saying,
legalize weed, you queers.
That's right. Hey, it's on the way. Yeah. Fine with me. So they're saying possession of up to 1 ounce outside of a residence, possession of up to 10 ounces in a residence, in a locked space within your residence, which, you know, you don't think about it. Like, if they make a law like, oh, you can possess 1 ounce outside. Well, what if you have 10 ounces inside your house? So they're saying you could have it in, like, a safe or just a lock box or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. And then 6 marijuana plants in enclosed locked space.
Wow.
Well, if your apartment, like, it's locked, right? So
yeah.
That's enclosed and locked. And no more than 12 marijuana plants in a single residence.
No more than 12, huh?
So if you have, like, a roommate, you could each grow 6. That's a shit ton of weed. But that's Massachusetts. That's not bad. Florida's going back up for medical, which they're saying they probably will pass medical this time. Which they're just stupid for not passing it before.
It's Florida. What do you expect?
There's so many old people there. I mean, my mom's got glaucoma. She should be smoking weed all the time. Just saying. Yeah.
But again, it's that generation. They were like, oh, it's the devil. It turns you into this evil monster. And
my mom's 76 years old. Like, she's going to go wilding around the neighborhood. If she does, I will be like, have a great fucking time, yeah. Mom. Just
world
saying.
Star. You know, I was thinking about this recently because I was talking to my dad about it. And he's like, he's just one of those, like, old school, this is the way things were back in 1960. This is the way they're always going to be. And I don't want things to change. And it makes me uncomfortable. And, you know, like, he doesn't say it makes me uncomfortable, but it's like, I want things to be the way it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost like if they tried it now at 70 years old, 75 years old, and we're like, whoa, this is amazing. And then it starts triggering things in your brain to go, oh, well, if this was bad, what if, and I was, you know, I was told this was bad, but it's really not. What if I try this? Or, oh my God, I wasted my whole life. I didn't get this when I was 17 and I didn't do this and this and this. And it started going crazy. Like, that's the only thing I could see is the being the reason why they don't want it to be legal and available, because they might, like, question their entire existence.
They don't go crazy. They get reefer madness.
Reefer madness. Her hands start turning to scale. And, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I'm on the cusp of that end of that generation. Like, so I'm a Generation Xer. I think you're classified as an Xer, right?
Yeah, I'm like the last year or the first year, last year for X.
And I tell you, X was like before everybody was like self-absorbed into themselves. So the younger generation, younger than us, is very like into themselves. Like,
yeah, it's the everyone gets a trophy generation.
Exactly. So everybody gets a trophy. Like, I was under the, you know, the impression
my feelings that, matter.
Yeah, they were like, your feelings don't fucking matter. Mm. If you're not first, you're last. That's what I love, Ricky Bobby.
Choose your gender pronoun. What do you want to be?
Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last, bitch. That's what I'm saying. So that's the generation. But I think, like, the older generation from us
the
is,
boomers.
Like, they can't fucking relax. They can't shut it down. Like, we can actually at least rationalize shutting shit down.
We want to be slackers.
The millennials can definitely shut stuff down, just zone out.
They can't start.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I think that fucking the baby boomer generation, they can't shut down. They're like, no, the fucking Nazis are going to come in and the Japanese are going to bomb us. Like, they had other shit to deal with. Like, we haven't – like, our generation, we had the cusp of, like, the end of Vietnam. But I tell you what, like, what other strife have we gone through? We haven't gone through real suffering. Like, they went through some really fucked up shit in World War II.
The air raid drills are in the Cold War,
like,
all that stuff.
We will never understand that. That's what I'm saying. Like, for them, I think it's just a different, like, they've never shut down their entire life. It's just a fear. I mean, we grew up in the Cold War, right? Cold War is pretty fucking scary. People had bomb shelters and shit, and The Day After. Remember that movie? It's fucked up, man.
Oh, the movie that fucked me up. And oh my god, they just
crazy.
Remade it. Oh my god, my brain.
The Day After?
No, the one with Patrick Swayze.
Wolverine!
Oh,
Red Dawn!
Red Dawn!
Dude, Putin, if you're listening, go fuck yourself, man.
Ooh.
Oh! I said it, da, motherfucker.
We actually had a Putin story that we didn't put in the notes. I forget.
Oh, the Brooklyn Bridge. You see the
Oh, the hammer and sickle? Did they put that up or something? Or?
No, so the Brooklyn Bridge 2 weeks ago, somebody threw a gigantic, it was like an, I don't know, like a 20-foot image of Putin, and it said peacemaker
serious?
Underneath. It's fucking hilarious. They were talking about it on the news. I think it was 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago.
Jeez. Yeah, now he was talking about, he's always talking some sort of crazy crap and how he's a warm, fuzzy guy and he's a great,
But, dude, the fucking Cold War was like, you were fucking terrifying. We actually had, I remember when I was little, we had like fucking air raid drills and,
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Well, I remember,
And like, it's not going to be an air raid. It's going to be a fucking global
nuke. Yeah.
Is war games. It'll be a global thermonuclear war. Like, I know what the shit's coming.
Yeah. Well, like Red Dawn, there's the one scene. I haven't seen the remake version. I never will. The original version, there's the one scene where they line all the kids up and they make them sing the national anthem and they start gunning them down. It's like a firing squad. And for some reason, that was one of those scenes, like, as a kid, it just stuck in my head. And, like, I've never been able to forget it.
Up, man.
It's really fucked up. Yeah.
All right. I'm sending you the Putin thing because I know you're. I gotta say, Brian, you're kind of a Putin fan.
I would not say I'm a Putin fan.
I'm not a Putin fan, but I'm with you. Where
I find him to be funny and curious now.
Fascinating. Yes.
Definitely not a fan.
I just sent you the Putin thing.
There's an audiobook on Audible. It's like 14 hours. It's like Putin's history. He was a very mediocre dude. He was stationed in the East Germany for the KGB. And
he knew
he
just to take out. That's what he
did. He just got in. He was in the right place at the right time with the whole Yeltsin campaign.
We need
a new person. We need a new face. Oh, this guy's here. We'll make him the guy. That's all it was. It was right place, right time. And
I've seen House of Cards. I know how it works. You play all those people against each other, and then you're the right guy.
And then you're throwing acid in the face of your rivals and shooting them in the head.
And then you're on a beach riding on a fucking horse with no shirt on like the fucking Old Spice guy.
Or you're skiing at Killington like that dude. Remember, like, we see him like every year. He wears his overalls, no shirt, and just hair.
He has a hair shirt.
So much hair.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Vladimir Putin with his goddamn hair shirt.
Yep.
God damn.
So, yeah, legalization. I mean, we got a couple more weeks. So everyone's like worried about the presidential election. Fuck the president. I want to know who's going to legalize weed.
If you want to – so from what I've heard, and this goes out to everybody that's going to vote in the next election, I'm just saying, if you're going to vote with your conscience, I really think you really can't not vote for weed.
Seriously.
Because from what I've heard from people, is how are you going to survive with the two candidates you have without weed?
That's a very good point.
Don't vote president, vote weed.
And always remember, Gary Johnson, he was the CEO of a cannabis company. So he may be the right man to lead this country.
He was at the cannabis convention we went to, right? The day before.
I think he was, yeah, that's right.
He spoke at the cannabis convention, medical marijuana.
The Cannabis Business Expo.
Cannabis. He was Gary Johnson. Yeah, yeah. He spoke the day before we were there.
GJ.
GJ. That's right.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah.
Him, Harry Carson. Was it Harry Carson or Leonard Marshall? One of the old New York
Giants.
Oh,
yeah, it was Harry Carson. I don't think it was Leonard Marshall.
I think it was Harry Carson, yeah.
It's Harry Carson. Mm-hmm. Harry Carson, I like Harry Carson.
Boy, good.
Boy, good. Boy, good.
Yeah. So, yeah, so this is that to me is the most interesting thing about the election is who's going to legalize weed.
I'm waiting for that. They should have a tracker. Like, I want to see fucking MSNBC, Fox, everybody tracking weed.
Yeah.
I want them to have like a weed. Okay, here's the presidential election, and here's the goddamn weed tracker.
Having like that. the yes and no's for the election, like the little happy green leaves in the one, and like the sad red leaves in the other.
It should be just one leaf, and it's like to get to the vote, and it like you know gets up to the level of that leaf.
Now, are they both? Is it again? Because again, I'm stupid. So is it if you get like 50%, 51%? Like, is just majority? Because I know last year, Florida had that weird thing where they needed, like, 60% to pass it and got, like, 58.
I think it depends on the state, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
I believe it depends, but I have no idea.
I think most of the time that it goes to vote,
it's where the people rules, vote, right?
It's usually majority, but then certain states have little fucked up rules. If it goes state Senate,
thanks,
that's
Florida.
Florida. It's a whole separate thing. Once it goes to like Senate or like, you know, state Senate, I think that's like 75% most of the times, but every state Senate's all fucked up. And then
it's like 2/3, but if like someone vetoes it, you can override them with 78% or something.
If you eat a Mutz sandwich and drink a beer at 12 o'clock, then it negates the vote. And then it goes to like a quorum where they sit. There's all these really crazy fucking rules.
You have to wear a wig.
Exactly.
And the guy with the wigs vote counts more.
Dude, I think they should all wear powder wigs.
Yeah.
I was in
I want to see Chris Christie in a powdered wig.
powdered
donut sugar.
Wig. Powdered sugar. Powdered donut wig. God, just like a big donut on his fucking head.
Just shaking the hair out into his mouth.
Excuse me. I think he's eating his wig.
Sir, please don't eat the wig.
That's fucking awesome. I remember being in Bermuda and like they had the powdered wigs and I was like, what the fuck? And they're like, hey, come on in. I'm like, I'm not going there.
Going nowhere near your eyes wide shut party over
Fidelio.
There.
Fidelio. Yeah. Oh, there was a Hotel Fidelio in Munich. So I took a picture of it. I was like, yeah, it's fucked up. I'm not going there.
Nope.
Fidelio.
Thank you.
And I'm dressed in a costume. But this is not the costume I want to be in.
All right. On to another topic about growing stuff.
You know why? I had a lot of buttons. I couldn't undo them really quickly. It just wouldn't have.
Button fly. Yeah.
Just saying.
Problematic. All right. So, Scandinavia. There's an urban food park in Denmark. They're calling it the Silicon Valley for Agriculture.
That's awesome.
So, this is a really interesting project that they're working on right now. Urban agriculture, private and public collaboration. It's called the Agro Food Park, and it's Denmark's version of Silicon Valley for food research and development. From experimental greenhouses to vertical farm prototypes, the park is bringing together academics and businesses to work on creating a sustainable future via global food security. So this first opened in 2009 and hosts 100 companies in 44,000 square meters of space. And they're expanding it to almost 280,000 square meters over the coming decades. And it's really interesting to see the way they're trying to kind of build like almost like a town based on agriculture.
I think it's fucking awesome.
And agricultural experiments. And how to figure out, you know, they're trying to understand how can they produce edible goods in the most sustainable way while creating like healthy air, clean water, biodiversity.
Dude, I'm all for this. So
it's awesome. It's absolutely beautiful and fascinating.
It's a great methodology and thinking. So on Netflix, they have this show. It's a series. The second season came out. It's called Chef's Table, right? So in the first season, they talk about Blue Hill Farm, which is not far from here.
Farm to table, yeah.
Farm to table. But what they do at that farm is they grow like a lot of like heirloom stuff, and they work with the growing process to like actually farm stuff that is better quality. They're trying to push the quality of the ingredients that they use because they don't dress it up a lot. They're like the ingredients kind of speak for themselves. So this seems like something like that. They just like it's a biodiversity, like just trying to like grow the best product you can. Like, what would happen if you're focused on that? You wouldn't have like shit tomatoes that don't taste like anything.
Yeah, right. Or the ones they pull them off the vine too early and let them ripen in a box.
Oh, it's horrible.
Driving cross country, yeah.
Have you ever gone on the highway and you've seen like, because I remember in North Carolina, I'd seen it once in a while. You see like a truck full of freaking tomatoes and they're all green.
Yeah.
And they're just all piled up. I'm like, those are not ripe tomatoes. And you know what? They're going to get somewhere. They're going to fake ripen them and they're going to suck ass. They're going to taste like cardboard.
Yeah, that's always pretty gross. And I mean, again, that's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like, oh, I want to have blueberries in January.
Yeah.
You know, they don't, where we live, blueberries don't grow in January. So there is part of that, you know, we want what we want when we want it. So we're going to have sacrifice and find, you know, other alternative ways of making that happen, like frozen food.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's coming from Ecuador or they're growing them somewhere else that we're getting them.
I'd rather have something frozen if it's frozen fresh.
Yeah.
Than really shitty shipped to you. Like
or anything canned or dried, you know, usually, yeah, if it's frozen fresh, it's usually the best.
Yeah.
That's almost the fishes too. You know, if you get even like sushi, you're getting them. They're catching them. They're flash freezing them right on the ships.
Yeah.
And they're storing them or shipping them cold.
I'd actually take canned over like a shitty product. Like high quality canned, high quality frozen.
Corned beef hash?
Better than, yes. Fresh corned beef hash you can't get. But if it's canned, yes.
Is there such a thing as like fancy corned beef hash?
I think there must be.
There's got to be like a really good barbecue place.
I got to say, I haven't done it this year, but usually like once a year, I will just want to have corned beef hash. Usually when I go to a diner, I'll get corned beef hash for breakfast. I might get it now that we talked about it.
It sounds really good right about now.
I tell you what, it's horrible when you think about what's in it, but it tastes so fucking
good. Park West Diner's open, right?
I went to a bed and breakfast out on Long Island one time, way, way long time ago, and little Jamaican lady was like running the whole thing. She made freaking awesome, like the Jamaican beef patties.
Oh yeah!
And then for breakfast, like I'm Puerto Rican, so I like the Maduros. So she made Maduros, eggs, and then she made fresh corned beef hash. I was like, I didn't think you could. I thought that came from a can. Like, what do you mean you made corned beef hash? She's like, no, I got corned beef, and you chop it up and you put it in. I'm like, I didn't think you could do it. Like, it was weird. It blew my mind. I was like, yeah, I guess that's what it really is. And then
is it just corned beef and potatoes?
Yeah.
Is that really it?
And then they just chuck it into a can. You open it up. And it's horrible because it's like all the fatty shit. Like, you're better off making your own corned beef.
What about an alternative version where you're using, instead of corned beef, you're using like barbecue brisket and sweet potatoes?
Excellent.
And bourbon.
Excellent, but it's not corned beef.
No.
Just saying.
It's upgraded shit.
Upgrade. I like it.
Brisket, bourbon, hash.
Well, I never got into the steak and eggs. Like, oh, yeah, I got a little bit of steak and some eggs. I'm like, yeah, it kind of sucks. Like, I want a nice steak with a potato. Like, I don't want eggs with, like, a steak. Like, well, I've never been into steak and eggs.
So a couple of years ago, we went to Peter Luger's for dinner. And we had some leftover steak that we didn't eat. Brought it home. Yeah. Next morning, I had that with my eggs. And it was out of this goddamn world.
See, I don't like the reheated steak. Like, it's got to be fresh. You cook me a porterhouse and then put some eggs on the side, fucking, I'm with you.
There you go.
I'm with you. But the next day, corned beef. I want a corned beef.
Corned beef.
You corn that.
Yeah, what if you just corn your steak? Yeah.
You put corn chips on it.
Tortilla chips. Making quesadillas.
Boom.
right? Breakfast quesadillas.
So what makes the corny?
Huevos rancheros.
Huevos rancheros.
I will pay for the queso and the...
Huevos rancheros.
The quesadilla, but not the guacamole.
Guacamole. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I've never been a steak and eggs guy. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm a ham and eggs guy.
Ham and eggs.
You get a country ham and fucking eggs, boom. It's like a smoked piece of ham. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, we every year, my father-in-law, because of his company, they do these hams. They get these smoked hams, and it's from Newski's.
Oh, you told me about this, the Newski's.
Yeah, it's like this famous,
that's famous, yeah,
place up in, I think it's Wisconsin they're from. N-U-E-S-K-E-S, Newski's. They have like their, some restaurants will have like Newski's bacon.
Like you get new, N-E-W, skis, S-K-I-S.
Newski's.
It's like Newski's.
The website is so beautiful. So we get this like, he gets this giant ham every year. I know, I'm starving. They have corned beef hash too. There you go. So they do these amazing hams, and we get one usually every year for Thanksgiving. For the day after Thanksgiving, we do this ham, applewood smoked, and leftovers.
Got me with applewood.
We'll do like omelets with this stuff, with this smoked ham. They are out of this world. And then even better, split pea soup with the bone. Oh,
dude,
good.
I gotta go to a diner after this. I'm starving.
I know. This is bad.
I'll go with you on the way home. I'm just fucking hungry right now.
Why isn't Chipotle open now?
You know what I'm going to get? Corned beef hash. Corned beef hash, smoked ham, eggs. And you know what I love with eggs? Pancakes.
You know what? I need to create an app. I want to create an app that rates sausage.
No.
You're staying quiet. I'm going with this. So sausage, because you know what? When you go to a restaurant, a diner, and you order sausage, especially breakfast sausage, you never know what you're going to get. Occasionally you get a patty. Occasionally you get some of those ghetto, like Jimmy Dean links. Occasionally you get a nice sausage.
I'm just saying, in Germany, there's like 25 different types of sausage. Like you look at them and like, oh, I'd like to have a sausage sandwich. They look at you like, do you want to have a Weisswurst? You want to have a T-Wurst?
Knackwurst, Bauernwurst, Bratwurst. Yeah.
There's like... We were at the stadium. Like, this is Allianz Stadium. We're at the fucking soccer game. There's, like, they're showing pictures of, like, here's this verse. Like, there's, like, five different kinds of sausage.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just go in and be like, oh, I'll have a sausage sandwich. So, like, okay, do you want – and they're different. Like, you know, your dad was a butcher. Vice versa is made a certain way. The texture is different.
Veal, there's different spices.
Different meat.
Yeah.
And then they have other ones that are like, there was one that I forgot what it was. It was like a fucking hot dog, but not like a hot dog. It was more like a sausage, but it was smoky.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was deer in it or something like that. It was fucking great. I was like, this is awesome. I ate like three of those things.
Yeah.
I ate like a really fat man. I ate like somebody that's like, at least twice the size that I am.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, like, and I'm happy with what I ate.
It's like that one Sopranos when he's like, that's the only two kinds of sausage were Italian and Jimmy Dean.
No, but definitely there's different, like, especially you go to German butcher, right? They have like five different types of sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask them, they're like, well, the texture's different, first of all, and then the stuff that's in it is different.
Yeah, the meat's different, the spices are different, yeah.
And then if you start smoking, it's like, whoa, this one's smoked, that one's not smoked. It's pretty cool.
That's my biggest gripe with the breakfast menu. It was like bacon, ham, or sausage. What do you mean sausage? Well, define the sausage for me. Give me some more information on
it. Is it shitty sausage? Is it sausage I don't want? Usually I generally don't like sausage too much because it's like mystery.
Yeah, like there needs to be more sausage ratings. Like there needs to be some sort of standards.
That's why I'd rather
have
ham.
Industry.
I'm like, ham? Yeah, it's pork.
You know what you're getting.
It's a ham.
Pig ass.
Pig ass. You're getting roast pig ass, boiled pig ass. You're getting some kind of pig.
Applewood smoked pig ass.
Applewood smoked pig ass. But it's a pig and it's an ass. That's all you get.
Yeah. You know what you're getting into. You understand what you've committed yourself to and you're
exactly.
Cool with it. Yeah.
When you talk sausage, what's in the sausage?
Exactly. It's so different. The ranges of things you get when you order sausage.
Definitely.
It's you're rolling the dice every time.
You know, I love turkey sausage. I love chicken sausage. The chicken sausage bothers me a little because I think there's beaks in there or something, like claws. I don't know. But when I think of turkey sausage, I'm like, no, that's all right.
Goddamn raptor sausage is like claws in there and feet.
Damn, what am I eating in this?
Pickled pig's feet sausage?
It's that question mark. I don't know what's in there.
Yeah.
That's where you got to go to a good butcher. I think the butcher is going to come back. A real butcher. Because you know what? I want to know what the fuck is in there.
Yeah. Artisanal sausage making.
I'd rather trust that dude and know who I got to take out. If my sausage sucks.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. If you do want a really good sausage, I highly recommend a D'Artagnan brand chorizo.
Yes. Oh, the chorizo is fucking great.
So good.
That's off the hook.
So good. Oh, my God.
That's off the hook.
Yeah.
Usually I overcook that. Overcook like a motherfucker when it starts crispy. Getting a little crispy. Mm. Oh, that's the best. You got to slice it and then cook it like, and you get that little, the grease that's left over.
Make an omelet with that.
Oh, no. You put fucking cheese in it. Cook that up. And then you put that on the side.
Oh.
And you dip bread in that fucking cheese. And then put the sausage on top. And
God damn. I want that right now.
You're talking like I'm living like I'm 400 pounds.
Chorizo McGriddle.
Fuck yeah. Oh, chorizo McGriddle.
Right?
But I would trust McDonald's to give a shit chorizo.
I'm talking upgraded, fancy, highfalutin McGriddle.
I'm watering. Chorizo. My mouth is watering.
Right, I seriously can't even talk right now because I'm thinking about this.
God damn.
All right, we got two more stories.
Why doesn't Chipotle have chorizo?
Breakfast Chipotle. Right?
They do that. Stock's going up again.
Right back up. No more E. coli.
We cook everything. We cook the shit out of everything. Yeah. No E. coli.
That's a new philosophy. That's a new tagline. Chipotle. We cook the shit out of everything.
That's right. Everything well done, motherfucker.
You cook the lettuce? I cook the fucking lettuce. That's all right. You assholes happy now?
I fry that motherfucker up. That's right. Nobody's getting sick.
Deep fried lettuce.
Oh, deep.
That's so awesome. Good.
All right, so next we got implication of sabotage adds to intrigue of SpaceX investigation.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I tell you what, man, they're going to try to take out SpaceX because Elon Musk is on Mars right now. So anyway, so there's a long-going feud between Elon Musk and his competitor, United Launch Alliance. And it took a really bizarre twist this month when a SpaceX employee visited facilities at Cape Canaveral and asked for access to the roof of one of the buildings. So about 2 weeks earlier, one of the SpaceX rockets blew up on the launch pad while testing. And they're saying as part of the investigation, there was something suspicious. So they wanted to, you know, kind of investigate the episode. So they're saying the SpaceX is saying that they had still images from video that appeared to show an odd shadow and then a white spot on the roof nearby on a building released by ULA, United Launch Alliance. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, the stories, I mean, again, I don't know if anything's been proven with this, but this is a little...
It's kind of conspiracy theory, which is I'm eating it up.
Yeah.
So they're saying ULA is a joint venture between Lockheed Martin and Boeing. Now, they've been in defense industry for freaking ever. And, you know, they've been
it's their bread and butter.
And they've been doing good work. Like, they make some good shit, like stuff that kills stuff, stuff that flies, like stuff that really helps our guys do what we need to do, like puts us where we need to be.
SR-71 Blackbird.
Fuck yeah.
Coolest plane ever.
Blackbird.
Yeah.
So they do that. Now SpaceX comes in, Elon Musk, and you know, he's really not welcome in the space. He's jumping in.
He's a disruptor, yeah.
And he's good as a disruptor. He's pushing them to do better, which is great. But, you know, you wonder if there's any truth to this. So it's pretty fucked up. So they're saying SpaceX still hasn't ruled out sabotage as a factor. Yeah. So the funny part is, you know, when you talk about like the life that we have down here and you talk about five levels above us, like the life that they have above there, Elon Musk is like, I know you motherfuckers did something. They're like, yeah, we did. Fuck you. Go prove it. You know, there's some shit going on. Like, and us down here are like, well, we have to go through the process of proving it. And it's just funny. It's kind of funny because it's like, so removed from us, but It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that whole the one thing he wrote on Twitter where it's he says, you know, he's asking, I guess, if anyone has any footage or, you know, audio or video. And he says, particularly trying to understand the quieter bang sound a few seconds before the fireball goes off.
Boom.
May come from rocket or something else.
Some special weapon that they've developed for like 20 years. And they're like, use this shit on Elon Musk?
Yeah, because I mean, when you look at that footage of the rocket exploding, I mean, it's just sitting there doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, just massive explosion.
Yeah.
You know, there it definitely could be something nefarious, but... Huh. Yeah, who are we to...
I don't know what happened. It just blew up.
Yeah.
If I had something with radio waves that would, like, intensify the microwave beams, like, you could definitely explode something.
Yeah.
Far away.
It's crazy stuff.
They should use it on some other shit, because I'm telling you, they could solve a lot of problems in the world.
Or create a whole lot more problems.
That's true, too.
Yeah. All right, and then our final story for the week. So this was pretty cool. This happened a couple weeks ago, actually a week and change ago, at the Hackers Congress in
awesome, man.
Near Prague. I guess Holé Sovice. No, I'm totally butchering that, so I'm sorry. So it's near Prague. They have a Bitcoin-only Red Bull machine at this you know Congress Hacker Congress event. And yeah, they the Red Bull Media House, they decided to come up with this idea and have a cool marketing opportunity and put it up there at the Congress.
That's awesome.
And it's apparently a huge success because it was, you know, again, it's the hacking world, they're, you know, very into Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency. It's pretty it's you know, forward thinking, it's interesting. It doesn't have the transaction fees Bitcoin doesn't have, that like something like a PayPal would have. And I think the most interesting thing about that is that a Red Bull only costs, where is the number? It was pretty low. When you convert the Czech currency, so 35 CZK, which is the Czech currency, about $1.45.
Nice.
For a Red Bull can.
Not bad.
It costs 2.3 millibitcoin.
Millibitcoin.
Yeah. So.
The funniest part is like you say, oh, this thing only accepts Bitcoin. You will weed the nerds out of the pack because you know what? They're going on, fuck Apple Pay. This is even better.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Apple Pay is going to be, it's going to be the stepping stone to get to Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Well, now they're saying that, you know, you can use it. Bitcoin is now usable through iMessage with iOS 10.
They're not dumbasses.
You can use, I think it's Circle, the Circle app. To send.
Is that through Circle K?
I believe they spun them off.
Okay.
So it's
just Circle. Saying. Circle K has its own cryptocurrency. That's pretty fucked up. I wonder if CVS is going to have it next.
I'm sure they will. Walgreens is all over that too.
Walgreens? God damn.
Yeah, it's
you have a ShopRite cryptocurrency. Can you imagine? Can I pay with my ShopRite? Oh, sorry, you can't.
Yeah, it's through Circle. So I think it's circle.io is the website.
Mm.
And you can purchase your Bitcoin through that app, and then you can send it through iMessage, which is pretty damn awesome.
So I was looking into the whole Bitcoin thing like I about a month ago. I was like, you know, I want to get on Bitcoin. I want to start using it once in a while. And it's so goddamn confusing because they're like, well, you should get this app, maybe that app. Circle came up as one of the popular ones,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of one of those things that depends on how you want to use it, like where you should get your Bitcoin, right?
Well, it depends. Yeah. I mean, Coinbase and Circle are pretty much like the most legit ones. You know, I know Coinbase, they're set up to be a real bank. So you can actually have a regular bank account through them. They also, you can purchase Bitcoin, you can purchase Ethereum, which is another cryptocurrency.
Ethereum's.
Through that as well.
Well, Ethereum went through this whole fucked up thing about like.
They had a hard fork a couple months ago. And
my buddy farms it, and he's like, well, they had this fork, and he's like trying to get in with the fork. It's this whole crazy thing.
Yeah, there's a hard fork, and then they picked up the old, so it created a new chain.
But the fork was due to what? There was a hack or something?
It was called the DAO. It was another, because their whole thing is, again, I don't know the details, but they're more of a, these these contracts you can put through on that currency, and this thing with the DAO was like it was fraudulent, and these people were stealing all this. It was a lot of money. It was like $50 million.
And they stole all this money at one point, and then they decided to fix it to make the cryptocurrency whole again.
It invalidated their actions but by doing this hard fork.
Right, and the hard fork kind of invalidated those transactions that were false, and then it split from there, and then now the currency is fine again.
Not actually fine. They might have to hard fork again because they're being attacked by hackers.
That's fucked up.
Blockchain. But that original chain that was not hard forked is now Ethereum Classic. People picked up supporting that now. So there's two versions of the Ethereum.
So it depends blockchain. Which version of the cryptocurrency you buy.
Well, the one nice thing is if you held it before the hard fork, you have both now. Ethereum, ETH, Ether, and Ethereum Classic, ETC. Wow. So. Yeah, it's such a crazy space now, the cryptocurrency space.
Well, and think about it in terms of, like, for a normal person going into this for the first time, you're like, so it doesn't mean anything unless you put money towards it. And that's when people realize, like, the dollar that you put money towards, it's the same idea.
Well, the scariest thing about it, too, is
on it.
I think for most people what makes it really scary is that when you look at Bitcoin, you know, say you look at your credit card and you buy something or there's a fraudulent fee on there. The credit card will be like, oh, I can fix that. You know, you didn't make this purchase. We'll just take it off. With Bitcoin, if you send it to money to a wrong wallet, if you send, you know, if you
somebody
lose,
steals your,
if you lose your, say you have it on a server or your computer and the computer crashes and you can't recover, that stuff's gone. Like you can't get that back.
There was a story.
That's the scariest thing about it.
Yeah, there's a story about a guy in England that had about, I think it wound up being about like, it was something like $20 million worth of Bitcoin on a disk drive that he had in a drawer, and then supposedly he threw it out in a landfill.
Oh my God.
And then he went in the landfill to try to find it. And it's like, but you have this $20 million worth of Bitcoin that is on a disk drive, and that's the only record of you owning it.
That's it, yeah.
It's like having actually hard-earned cash in a drawer that now just got thrown out. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah,
but supposedly he mined them and just stopped and took the disk drive out and just forgot about it. He didn't think it was going to be anything.
When it was worth nothing, yeah.
And it's like a shitload of money in the landfill. It's crazy.
And that's the scariest thing about it right now is the inability to really comfortably hold it if you're not like someone who's a little bit tech savvy at least.
Well, here's the crazy part. So you say, so here's what, well, crazy part of U.S. currency is a whole different thing. But anyway, let's say you have the U.S. Mint verifies that there's $20 million that got burnt up in a fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll print up another $20 million. Whereas Bitcoin, if it's lost, it's just lost.
There's 21 million. That's the gone. That'll be the full amount when it's fully been mined in I think like 100 years or so.
Right.
That's it. That's the it. Limit. There's a cap. It's a deflationary currency.
So think about out of that, there's $20 million that's never going to be used.
Yeah.
That's out of currency, out of circulation.
And yeah,
so
that's the thing. The 21 million. That's the most possible. And you know, there's been tons that have been lost through either people, like losing them on the computers or, you know, having exchanges be hacked. I mean, you had to.
It's kind of like a gift card. So I used to work for a big retail company and there's a company, Blackhawk, that does like all the gift cards. So when you go into like CVS or a supermarket, you know, ShopRite, whatever, and you see like the whole gift card rack, half of those are by this company, Blackhawk. Hmm. What they do is they partner with all these companies to say, I'm going to offer your, you know, a whatever, a CVS card and a Walmart card and a, you know, you buy whatever Home Depot card. You can buy any card you want and they fund it and it goes through them. Well, when you look at the statistics, like, so you pay $50 for a gift card, you give it to somebody, there's like, if you're talking about like redemptions, you're talking about their redemptions are so low. It's like 30% are never redeemed.
Wow.
So think
about your whole thing with the Bayern Munich game, getting that cash card.
Yep.
The same kind of thing.
And think about that. Like, so you buy something for $50 and let's say there's 100 people buy it and $50 out of, you know, 30% of them doesn't get redeemed. That's a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
That they just keep, you know, and it's funny, like they'll keep it on the books for, I think there's a set amount. It's like 3 or 4 years or whatever. So there's this time where they hold it on their books, and then after a while, it's like, boom, it's in our pocket. And if somebody wants to redeem it, and that's why some of these gift cards, like Amex will do, it's like $495 to buy the gift card, and then to keep it active every year, they charge you out of your balance.
Oh, really?
Like $3 or $4.
So you get zero.
Yeah, so you got to look at the things. It's like, well, if you want to carry it, that's fine. They'll carry it, but then now they're going to charge you. And they're going to make money on your money because they put it into different accounts and stuff. It's crazy.
Wow.
The math of it is just amazing that companies don't do it. Like, yeah. It's crazy. Like, I'll give you money. Well, why don't you give me money? I'll hold it for you. And you tell me when you want to redeem it. You never come back to redeem it. Oh, well. You lose that gift.
Yep.
You lose that gift card or you lose that Bitcoin. It's never redeemed.
Yep. That's true.
Crazy shit.
Crazy indeed. So, yeah, so very, very cool, diverse week of topics this week, huh?
Yeah, it was. I actually like Bitcoin. I think it's going to get bigger.
I don't disagree. So,
it's been around the longest, and I think it's more, everybody looks at it as more legit. So.
Yeah. Yep. It's got a lot of traction, a lot of people investing in it, and could make, it's had a strong year this year. And
we have Ski Bum Dreams riding on this.
I know I do. So thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Please check us out, SkiBumPodcast.com, Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast, Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast. And if you could, please subscribe and go to your favorite podcast app, whether it's on the Apple iTunes Store or Stitcher, and go on, subscribe, and please rate us 5 stars if you wouldn't mind. So thank you guys again for listening, and we will see you next week.
Stay high, stay polluted.
See ya.